Daniel Browning here, filling in for Cassie McCullough. This is Life Matters on RN. Now, tribunals are places where you settle disputes. In South Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission heard evidence about the systematic abuses of apartheid. Here, the National Inquiry into the Stolen Generations was held to address the deep ongoing trauma caused by the practice of separating Aboriginal children from their families. And now the victims of physical and sexual abuse by the clergy are coming forward to tell their stories. Now, this kind of truth-telling is one way of trying to move forward through personal and collective grief. Experts say the mandatory detention of asylum seekers has the potential to produce the same kind of collective grief and trauma that can be played out over generations, like war veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, a youth theatre group in Western Sydney has teamed up with the Inner City Griffin Theatre Company to bring together the Aboriginal community and newly arrived refugees to tell parallel stories. Well, what are these parallel stories? Here to explore those parallels are some of the performers in the new production, which is called, simply enough, Tribunal. Auntie Rhonda Dixon-Grosvenor is a Darug and Yuin elder. Welcome, Auntie Rhonda.
Thank you, Daniel.
Jawed Yakub is a former refugee from the Hazara ethnic minority in Afghanistan. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And the creative producer of Tribunal, Karen Therese, is also the artistic director of Powerhouse Youth Theatre, which is staging Tribunal with Griffin Theatre.
Hello.
Welcome, Karen.
Hi.
Now, first to you, Auntie Rhonda. What do you think are some of those parallel experiences between Aboriginal people and, you know, people like Jawad who are seeking asylum here on Aboriginal land?
Well, I think that, and what I say in the play, bring it up, that the similarities are that I'm touching on are the incarceration and the suicide, high suicide rates, and the racism that's come down the generations from when the colonisers first arrived. And it's actually come down with the White Australia policy. And, you know, as you go through the generations, there's different sort of racist...
Yeah, and that kind of minute control that migration authorities have had, you know, in White Australia, of course, the White Australia policy, but also, you know, during the assimilationist era, there was minute control of Aboriginal lives.
Yes, exactly.
Now, tell us about the germ of this idea, Karen. A lawyer friend of yours said something that triggered this for you.
Yeah, we were working on another project, an idea called Love and Boats, which was about... you know, sexual discrimination and also race discrimination. And it was in Adelaide at Vital Statistics, actually. And it was a weekend that an asylum seeker boat crashed on Christmas Island and near Christmas Island, the people drowned. And, you know, it was a very tragic time. And I said to my friend who was collaborating with me, who's a human rights lawyer, what do we need to do? How do we stop this? And he said, we need to tell the truth. Mm. And I said, how do we do that? And he said, well, Australia needs to have a truth and reconciliation tribunal. They've had it in South Africa and Palestine. And when I researched that, the tribunals or the people's courts were set up by artists and politicians and lawyers. And so I thought that as an artist, maybe I could set something up like that as a theatre show, as a theatre work. It's quite ambitious and quite scary, but, you know, through a relationship with Griffin, we, you know, the opportunity came up to do this, and Griffin was actually the perfect place to do it.
Mm. And there's such a release valve, I think, in storytelling. Jawed, tell us a little bit about your story. When did you arrive here in Australia?
Just 4 months ago, yes.
Just 4 months?
4 months,
yeah. Oh, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You're in Indonesia for a time, weren't you?
Yeah,
you spent some time
I lived there for 3 years, almost 3 years.
Did you learn Bahasa?
yeah, I know some about Bahasa. And in this tribunal, I will talk about Nabi, Mahdi and I. Nabi was a friend of mine.
Yeah. Mahdi Mohammadi.
Mahdi Mohammadi and Nabi. Yeah.
And you were all roommates living together in a room in Indonesia,
yes,
sharing a room
in
Indonesia.
I will talk about them. Yeah. And I stayed in Indonesia and three situations. Mahdi left Indonesia and after 2 weeks maybe, and Abby also left Indonesia and even on Manus Island.
Now your roommates made different decisions.
You made a different decision.
What decision did you make in order to get to come to Australia?
I was thinking about the boat, but I thought it was too risky. Yeah. And now I am one of the very lucky ones. It's just chance. I was picked to come to Australia under the UN Refugee Resettlement Program. I arrived by plane.
So you were granted refugee status.
And Nabi, he took a boat just after Mahdi, but he was too late. He's on Manus Island now. He has been there for 3 years. Sometimes we share message on Facebook. Last time I was talking to him mm-hmm. on the phone, he was telling me the conditions are really terrible. Then he said, sorry, I have to go now. Ask him why, but he just tell me the guard was coming and they don't want you to talk. I think it is very hard for him.
Now, Karen, this is almost verbatim theatre, and you've used actual conversations in the script. You've cut it through with legal procedure. We know exactly what immigration department officials say in interviews. How do you go about devising something that's so factual and not really a work of the imagination?
You can't make this stuff up. You know, I had no idea how to do this except to collect a number of people who I respected. And I worked with Aunty Rhonda Dixon in Gathering Ground 10 years ago, and I felt that the Governor or the High Commissioner needed to be the most powerful person in Australia, and for me that was an Aboriginal woman. And so I rang Aunty Rhonda, who came on board. Mahdi Mohammadi is the kind of key artist. He's one of our ensemble members. He's an actor and filmmaker in Afghanistan, and now is part of the Powerhouse Youth Theatre Ensemble. He's an extraordinary actor with an extraordinary story. And so I was able to, we were able to mould the whole tribunal around his story. Fairfield is also, you know, one of the key areas for resettlement for refugees and asylum seekers. So it's a very key issue. And, you know, what Joe said, the human rights lawyer, said we can't heal our issue with detention until we heal our Indigenous history and we start telling the truth about our Indigenous history. So it was important to try and find a way, to have an Indigenous voice and, a refugee voice. So we just talked. We talked for about 5 months together. Mm-hmm. Like even on Sunday nights, we talked intensely, and it became an organic process that we just followed.
And there's so much to get through. Aunty Rhonda, you wear a particular possum skin cloak. Yes. You are a judge, I suppose, the governor of this tribunal, this people's court. But part of one of the most compelling images that this play conjures is imagining what happens if an asylum seeker it's an Indigenous woman, an Aboriginal woman, an elder who welcomes those asylum seekers. It's what might happen, and that image I think is a compelling one.
That was very important to me, and to do the process during this play of getting the ceremonial cloak.
So you wear the cloak. It's hanging in the courtroom, for want of a better term.
Yes.
But you don that cloak and take on this magisterial role.
Oh yes, very very important that this cloak was made and through proper ceremony, not gammon, as my uncle Max Dalmumman Harrison said, and he did the smoking and family were there and, you know, members of the play and the Powerhouse Youth Theatre. So it was very, very special to have this process done properly.
We're almost out of time, but Karen, it's a shame I have to cut it short. But tribunal at its heart, I suppose, establishes a people's court each night.
Yep.
And I think the audience is a part of this process. You want to engage them. But what is this particular people's court? What are you asking that people who come, audiences, what are you asking them to decide?
We're asking them to decide about the kind of radical thing we're doing is introducing Jawad and Mahdi as beautiful human beings, and we're offering this the radical idea of kindness. And what the main decision we made at the beginning of the process was we were going to decolonize the court system and decolonize the theatre space. And as a result, we started to dream what would happen if asylum seekers came to our shores and were met by our First Nations people. And so we started to create the ideas of ceremony and ritual, and we followed Aunty Rhonda's lead in relationship to Indigenous protocol around that.
Cut you off, unfortunately, yeah. Karen. Karen is the creative director of Tribunal, artistic director of the Powerhouse Youth Theatre based in Western Sydney. We've been talking about Tribunal, new production. Aunty Rhonda Dixon-Groven is a performer. She's a Darug and Yuin elder. And Jawad Yakub is a former refugee. Now, Tribunal's on at the SBW Stables Theatre in King's Cross from the 12th to the 20th of August. There are more details on our website. Books and Arts is up next. Kate Evans in conversation with the Dutch writer Herman Kosch. I'm Daniel Browning. Cassie McCullough is back with you for Life Matters tomorrow. But now we are coming up to news time. It's nearly 10 o'clock.